It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Joining us right now, Jerry DiNardo of the Big Ten Network.
Coach!
Jerry, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning.
Coach!
Good morning.
What's up, BJ?
You fired up? I'm fired up, ready to go.
Well, it's Tuesday. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah. Damn.
Right.
So, yeah, we got more hitting to do.
Build up, BJ. You know better than that. Yeah,
what Jerry's saying is shut up.
He's saying you can't win the game on Tuesday.
Jeez.
Last time I looked, no.
Okay, we can still be fired up. We just tempered a little bit, Coach. That's it.
Plus, I should play in the MAC. They play on Tuesday. I guess you could win the game on Tuesday.
See, there you go. But no, I'm not fired up about them. Not yet.
Give me a weakness that Penn State has right now, because there's not one that's pretty obvious.
Well, okay, when you say weakness, it doesn't mean bad. Let's establish that. Okay. I'd say probably the offensive line is behind the player development of Penn State since James has been there. And yet, when you look at the offensive line, when Bill O'Brien took over, when James took over, it was really behind the rest of the roster as far as player development. So probably the offensive line, but obviously they make up for it because they're an option team, and by virtue of the option, you gain a blocker because obviously you're not blocking one of the defenders. Plus, they've got the best player in the country in Saquon and one of the best quarterbacks in Trace. But I think the short answer is offensive line, but I don't want to say it in fact that they're struggling in the offensive line. They're just not as good as everywhere else.
Yeah, I would agree with that assessment, Coach. Now, when you look at their defensive line, do you think they are stout enough to shut down D.K. Dobbins or J.K. Dobbins and the running game of Ohio State? Because I believe that's going to be the key. They're fine with making J.T. Barrett chunk it all over the field, and he's got some great guys he can throw it to. They have to stop the run. Are they stout enough to do that?
I think it depends on what runs Ohio State decides to present to the defense. Again, we could see two option teams. As much as this is wide open attacks and two great quarterbacks and all this kind of stuff, at the core of their being, when they get in trouble, meaning they're in a tough game, they're both option teams. So I do think that Ohio State can move the ball on Penn State if they incorporate the option. The problem with the option is you put JT in harm's way. The other problem with the option is you don't need it if you're Ohio State in most games, but you need it in the big games. And if the mesh isn't tied up and if the reads aren't accurate because you haven't been doing it in all the games, it can create problems. Do I think Ohio State can just run direct runs at Penn State without the option? I think it would be give and take. I think Penn State would win some of those battles, and I think Ohio State would win other battles. I think where the offense and defensive lines are going to come in, BJ, is when the offense gets behind schedule, second and long, third and long. Mm-hmm. Then I think the advantage goes to both defensive lines, Ohio State and Penn State's defensive lines, because I think they're better than both of the offensive lines they're going against.
That's a great point, because Michigan rolled into Happy Valley last weekend, only allowing opponents to convert 20% of their third downs, and Penn State converted about 60%, 57, I believe, was the exact number, but they didn't have many third down plays, I think seven, but they only had one of those third down conversions was 10 yards or more. So it's going to be key to be in those manageable third down situations.
You have to stay on schedule in this game, right? I mean, you've got to be first and 10 and second and six better more than 50% of the time. They'll have somewhere between 25 and 30 first and 10 opportunities. And whatever team can come up second and six or better more than 50% of the time keeps them out of those third long situations. And then you start looking at turnovers and all that other stuff that plays into every game. But with these two slugging it out, I just think we watch first and 10. Who's throwing the ball better in first and 10? And when they do run it, who's gaining 4 yards or more?
Gio and Jones with Jerry DiNardo now with the Big Ten Network across the country on CBS Sports Radio. It feels like Saquon Barkley has gotten to the point where he's matchup proof. Doesn't matter what you do to him in that offense or who you're playing, he's going to find a way to get his. If you had to scheme against him, how would you try to slow him and that Penn State attack down?
Okay, so that's an issue, right, Gio? So you got to figure, if Ohio State learned anything by watching Penn State and Michigan when they were off, it is, okay, if we played man coverage on the perimeter between Gesicki and Barkley, how the hell do we match up with them, right? I mean, that's the issue, right? It's because it's contradictory. If I want to match up with the wide receivers, I play man. But I can't match up with Gesicki and Barkley with the linebackers. So do I play zone and give the advantage to the receivers and to JT? Give JT zone, he's going to play pitch and catch all day long. One way to challenge JT is to snug up coverage. One way to challenge the Ohio State receivers is not to let him shake coverage. People have, Oklahoma proved that, and some other teams have proved that. So what do you do? So I'm not going to answer the question because I don't have the answer. But that's what I'd be studying. I mean, that's what I'm watching this game unfold Saturday night. And I'm thinking about the Ohio State-Penn State game after a while. Obviously, Penn State was going to win. I'm saying, okay, if Greg Schiano mans up on the outside, how does he match up in the inside? And Greg knows a lot more about defense than I do, so I'll leave it up to him. But to me, that's the problem.
Exactly, and I thought Trace McSorley would have to play a big part in Penn State winning last week. He did, accounting for four touchdowns in that ball game. Now, Ohio State, their last five opponents, the combined record is 17-19. We're talking Army, UNLV, Rutgers, Maryland, and Nebraska. But yet and still, you won all those games. You blasted all those teams. So does that, from a confidence standpoint going into this one, does that really give Ohio State the edge off the heels of losing to Oklahoma?
Well, I think it gives them a little bit of edge. I think revenge gives them more of an edge. Mm-hmm. Human nature says, that they know they haven't played anybody really good, and maybe what they've done the last few weeks isn't a great measure. But revenge is always a motive and always in the back of an athlete or a competitor's head. I still don't know where JT is in the big games. To me, you watch the Nebraska game. I mean, BJ, Nebraska game looked like a Thursday practice where you script a bunch of plays and you just march down the field and everything looks good.
Yeah.
And, we know JT can perform there. And then I watched the Oklahoma game again last night. JT didn't get much help in that game from the offensive line. Sometimes the receivers couldn't shake coverage, but there were times when there were receivers open, but JT just wasn't protected well enough. So can Ohio State protect JT, and can he throw it in tight windows under extreme pressure? There's tremendous pressure on JT. JT, the kind of kid, he's a great kid, he's a three-time captain. I think he feels like he has to win this game, no matter how much Urban says, just play the game, it's not all up to you. I think he feels that pressure, and he needs to be protected to respond to that pressure.
Is Wisconsin going to be better than just rolling to the title in their half of the Big Ten and then losing in the championship game again? Is this going to be a different outcome for them? Can they take that next step in 2017?
You know, I don't know. The worst thing for Wisconsin is they're not playing enough tough games. I mean, they look. I watched them again, whenever it is. I don't even know what day it is. But I watched them again after Saturday and studied them. You just wish they were under the fire more. They just look like they know they're going to win. You watch them. It looks like they're going to win. They're very talented. They're very well coached. But, damn, you want to be in tough games before you're in a tough game. I mean, this is, you know, Ohio State, at least they lost to Oklahoma. You know, Wisconsin, you know, they kind of just are getting through the games, and they're really, really good. But I worry about them. Now, they have Michigan, which, you know, we thought would be better. I worry about the Iowa game. I mean, if I say Wisconsin's get upset, I look to Iowa to do that. But anyway, I'm rambling. I wish they had a tougher schedule for their sake, because they could roll to Indianapolis and then not be in a tough game and suffer not being in a tough game during a tough game.
Yeah, I think if they get in one where they can shut down Taylor, who's been fantastic, the freshman running back, and they have to lean on Hornibrook, it's going to be a tough deal for that offense to score some points. Michigan State, they, since the win at their Michigan, which was a tough one, but they got it. Little brother wins again. They've had some tight ones. Do you think they're the second or third best team in the conference?
You know, I don't think they're as good as Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I think they can beat Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin. I mean, this is Mark D'Antonio, right? I mean,
yeah.
Count them out, and then he beats you, and then you wish you never opened your mouth. And so, you know, they're just kind of an ugly team. They're playing really good defense. Their offensive line, you know, they're okay. They've got some waist benders. They've got some really tough guys. I think L.J. Scott is the answer. You know, he's just got to get – he's just got to pass this driver education class. You know, I mean, I you know, I lost my license too. Everyone's all over him. He should have been suspended.
No, he shouldn't have.
I know. I mean, I was coaching in Eastern Michigan, and I lost my license. I went in front of the judge, and he said, "How'd you get here?" And I said, "I drove." He almost put me in jail. Maybe it's Michigan. I don't know. But anyway, you know, it's just typical. This is what Mark D'Antonio loves. You know, I mean, he just loves these close games, and they're playing the way he likes to play, and that's how they played for 10 years, except for last year.
Gio and Jones with Jerry DiNardo across the country on CBS Sports Radio. You can always check him out on the Big Ten Network. Did you think that by now Jim Harbaugh would have more success?
Yeah, he's behind schedule. There's no doubt he's behind schedule. And when I say schedule, here's the schedule. Ohio State wins the national championship in Urban's third year. James Franklin wins the Big Ten championship in his third year. Jim is coming third in the East for 2 years in a row, and it looks like him and Rutgers are going to play for fourth place this week. And so he's behind schedule. But more importantly, why? Why is he behind schedule? They had, 11 draft picks last year, so obviously Brady left in talent. In fact, I think his record right now is exactly the same as Brady's at the same time. But Brady left in talent. I think their problem is quarterback play, offensive line, and tailback. And when you line up in a pro formation, like Wisconsin, you better have an offensive line. Wisconsin probably has one of the best offensive lines in the country. I'm on the Joe Moore Award Committee, and I hear a lot of guys talk about a lot of different lines, and I think Wisconsin's in that conversation. But Michigan should have a better offensive line. If you're going to line them in pro formation, you better have a tailback like Jonathan Taylor at Wisconsin. I mean, if you're an elite team, like Jonathan Taylor, and then you better have a quarterback. Hornibrook's a good quarterback, not a great quarterback, but if you look at the personnel at Wisconsin, you say if Wisconsin that recruits 2 and 3 stars can be built like that, and if Michigan can be built the way they are on defense, why can't they be built that way on offense? So certainly behind schedule, and maybe the scheme has caught up to him. If he's going to try to win games 14-7, 14-10, which is what you do sometimes when you line up in that formation and you're in a big game. So, yes, behind schedule, to have a long answer to a short question, Gio, behind schedule for sure.
Well, take as much time as you want with this, because Notre Dame, they are ahead of schedule, I think. No one figured them to be sitting where they are with just the one loss and running the rock in the manner in which they are. 317 is what they're averaging right now. Now, Coach Kelly overhauled that staff. I think he's 6-7 new coaches, 2 new coordinators. You've been there. You've been the leader of these programs. How difficult is it to get all those new voices and faces and philosophies to mesh?
Maybe the most difficult, or certainly one of the most difficult things you do in coaching, and usually the thing that gets a guy fired, okay? It's usually a last resort. You know, I said the same thing about James Franklin. I mean, Joe Moorhead changed, and then Shoup leaves to go to Tennessee, and he rebuilds his staff, not as much as Brian.
Yeah.
But for Brian to rebuild that staff and get this result, I think that's extraordinary. I think if you study the history of coaching changes, meaning staff changes, you'll find, you know, and Mike Riley's going through this in Lincoln, you'll find most of it doesn't work. It's a hard sell to the team. It's certainly a hard sell to your administration, and it's a hard sell to the fans. And Brian has done all of that, and he deserves this kind of credit. He's changed himself. You know, Brian has kind of changed himself twice, I think, since he's been at Notre Dame. And I can remember a story about, you know, about Ara telling him and maybe Lou telling him, you know, there are a lot of people watching you on the sidelines. And, you know, you just have to be careful with everything that you do there. You're in a fishbowl. And to his credit, he's made some changes. It's hard, BJ, it's hard for a guy like Brian Kelly to give a play call. It's like Steve Spurrier giving a play call. If you're a head coach who's a play caller, I mean, that's one of the most fun things, exciting things you do. And to all of a sudden stop doing it when you were the head coach of Grand Valley, then the head coach of Central Michigan, then the head coach of Cincinnati, and then the head coach at Notre Dame, and start out being a play caller, man, giving that up is hard to do. And I just give him a lot of credit for what he's done.
Yeah, it's like me giving up pork chops. Hard to do. Can't do it.
Well, that's impossible, BJ.
Yeah.
That's the next level.
Jerry, thanks for the time as always. We appreciate it, man.
All right. See you, BJ.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's really refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.